The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! So for this week's archive radio show, we are going to go all the way back to 2014 and 2015 to some pieces I aired back then, and they're still totally relevant, unfortunately. So here's this week's show.
So welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 5th, 2014, and this happens to be my birthday. So here's a special birthday Thunderbolt. Well, kids, it has finally happened. I spoke to a stranger on the street, and he recognized my voice from the Thunderbolt. And he said he loves my show.
Why should you want to know? Don't you mind about the future?
Yep, I'm a real-life celebrity now.
Try to think ahead.
But I'll still let you tell people that you know me.
For tomorrow.
Don't worry.
Think about today instead.
I'm available for autographs every Wednesday afternoon at the Westside Food Co-op and Thursday through Friday at the Eastside Food Co-op. Unlike Paris Hilton, though, I haven't figured out a way to make money just by being famous yet, so you can also purchase a copy of Real Change while you're at it.
Why should you want to know? Why are you obsessed with fighting? Times and fates you can't defy. If you knew the path we're riding, you'd understand it less than I.
So developers in New York City are bringing us back some nostalgic reminders.
Let me try to cool down your face a bit. Let me try to cool down your face a bit.
They're constructing high-rises that have separate entrances for their regular residents. And they're subsidized low-income residents.
Mary, ooh, that is good, while you prattle through your supper.
Many controversial and inflammatory comparisons come immediately to mind.
She alone has tried to give me.
But the developers wish to assure the public
what I need right here and now,
that this is not supposed to remind anyone of anything. I'm surprised that the city of Olympia didn't try to get these guys to develop the Artesian well. course, now that I think about it, maybe they did. And now, it is time for the official Thunderbolt question of the week. We have two people who don't have a clue. The question is, do these two people combined know more or less than one person who doesn't have a clue? Keep in mind that whilst any individual can know nothing, when two people get together, it is actually possible for them to know less than nothing. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 4th, 2014. I am going to break Thunderbolt tradition and begin this week's show with great solemnity as I share some words of wisdom from one of our beloved national leaders.
There are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
You know, a lot of people made a lot of fun of Rumsfeld for saying that, but since this quote almost perfectly encapsulates the core tenet of my personal philosophy of life, I find this to possibly be the most profound thing that I have ever heard a politician say.
ये दिल का जो पहलू है बेवजह पे तू की पहेली के जैसे उलझाता है जरा सा मौका तो दे दे तू सुलझा के दूंगी छोटी मोटी मुलाकातों को देखो देखो मैं तो ख्वाबों में ऐसी वैसी कैसी बातें हो सोचा करो मैं ख्यालों में क्यों कहा इंतजार हो मैं तो चला
उड़ा उड़ा मोड़ा मोड़ा जोड़ा जोड़ा थोड़ा थोड़ा
Yes, all that is required is to take it in other than a political context and then completely ignore the source and completely ignore the source's agenda. Just ignore all of that and Rumsfeld possibly becomes one of the most powerful political philosophers in all history. not. So next, the Thunderbolt wishes to give some serious props to the medical cannabis people. Hip hip hooray!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
The current campaign by the state of Washington to seize monopoly control of our buds was attempting to throw the medical cannabis people under the bus and make them pay full retail with very full tax for their medicine along with all of us recreational folks.
Roll another one.
We only smoke pot because we like it.
Just like the other one.
Rather than because it is medicine that is vital to us.
You've been hanging on to it.
I could make an argument that this is vital for my creative
and
process.
I sure would like a hit.
But instead, I think I'll take another hit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
And by the way, state of Washington,
pass it over to me.
I fully intend to continue purchasing my buds from my friends.
Bogart that joint.
Thank you,
my friend.
Especially if you're going to throw the medical people
over to me.
Under the bus. Yes, kids, the new government bud mafia wanted to make it illegal for the medical cannabis people to continue growing their own medicine, and they wanted to criminalize their bud-growing cooperatives.
Roll another one.
They were obviously hot to trot to pass this legislation.
Just like the other one.
And it appeared to be on the fast track to passage until
that one's just about burned to the end.
It would appear.
So come on, and be a real friend.
That it was stopped in its tracks by the medical cannabis people.
Bogart that joint.
They mounted a major lobbying blitz at the last minute, and it would appear that they have at least temporarily stopped this outrage.
Bogart that joint, my friend.
Score another one for the good guys.
Over to me.
Yippee!
Everybody sing along this time.
Don't guard that joint, my friend.
Because when we all get together,
pass it over to me.
We can still get things done, kids.
Don't guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, man. Wow, that was good. And now we interrupt the Thunderbolt to bring you a news flash. The Thunderbolt is most happy to report that the Spanish Inquisition may finally be coming to an end. To explain, here is the next installment of the Thunderbolt Stories of Historical Context. In 1035 CE, there was a Jewish pogrom in Spain.
So was I from the crash of our enemy's hopes and the horrible sound of tabata.
And a large number of Jews gathered up on a hill for protection. The nearby village thereafter became known as the Hill of Jews. Then, a few centuries later, when the Spanish Inquisition got going good, some witty city fathers decided to change the name of their town. They changed it from Hill of Jews to Kill the Jews. And that has been the official name of this town to this day. Really? There is a town in northern Spain called Camp Kill the Jews. Or Castrillo Matajudios. The town of Kill the Jews even has an official website. Now we are in these enlightened times of 2014.
But I leave my pajamas to Billy Budapest, and I don't get the gist of you later.
And the 60 residents of Kill the Jews have decided to vote on whether they should change the name of their town back to its original name, a Hill of Jews. Now, I see no polling data, so I don't know if this measure is expected to pass. Though I wonder how difficult it would be to poll an electorate with 60 residents.
My very moon
but Lorenzo Rodriguez, who is the mayor of Kill the Jews, supports the name change. Mayor Rodriguez hopes to clear up his town's name. He is doing this in the hope that celebrating the Jewish history of Kill the Jews will help bring tourists into the region. And that is not a joke. He actually said all of that. Evidently, Mayor Rodriguez feels that a poster inviting people to kill the Jews would be counterproductive as far as attracting Jewish tourists is concerned. It's not too far from Kill the Jews. There is also a valley called Kill the Moors. I haven't heard of any moves to change their name yet. Evidently, the ambitious mayors of Spain are not as worried about offending Muslim tourists. So how's about we change the name of Olympia to Kill the Bankers? Just kidding. Or actually, does anyone second that motion? And now we have a Thunderbolt update. The results are in. Kill of Jews has officially defeated Kill the Jews as the official name for the Spanish town. Yeah, it was a nail biter, but the final tally came to 29-19 in favor of the name change. So that's it. The Spanish Inquisition is finally over. Well, it's over everywhere except down the road in Kill the Moors, anyway.
I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
So concerning those land developers in New York who are constructing the high rises that have separate entrances for their regular residents and their subsidized low-income residents.
Oh, well, the purple of the
Well, everyone was outraged. And so was I. At least I was outraged until I read Dr. Wes Browning's column in Real Change last week.
I wanna play on the roundabout, out on the merry-go-round.
In this article, he states,
we all know what your name is.
Rich people ruin my life. Please don't make me use the same facilities that they use. And after I thought about it,
alimony, paying your bills,
I found myself in total agreement. Why should us good, honest, regular folks who have things like love and morals and true friends in our lives be exposed to such low-life scum as rich people who have none of those things?
We all know what your name is, so you better lay your money down.
Why should our children be forced to attend school with some rich brat whose father had to see a psychiatrist for 3 years before he could hug his son? Why should I have to be exposed to some ignorant, arrogant, sociopathic, human mutant hybrid that makes his living ruining people's lives?
With the butler and the maid and their servantry.
Take a Sunday drive around a large American city sometime. In the poor parts of town, you will see people everywhere hanging out, socializing, walking, and doing what actual humans have been doing with each other for millennia. In the rich parts of town, though,
you'll see only walls and gates and thick hedges. If you're lucky, you may see a jogger. And in the real rich neighborhoods, you'll need to negotiate a guarded gate to get anywhere near them.
But here's a single word to say.
Are these the kind of values that we want to teach to our children? Should I have taught my daughter to be afraid of people? And to build thick walls and hire guards because you so fear the world? Should I have told my daughter, in order to make it to the top in crony corporate capitalist world, my beautiful child, you will need to forget everything they taught you in kindergarten about playing fair and sharing and being nice, and about not slicing people's throats open? Instead, you will need to develop a level of ambition that indicates serious psychological derangement. You will need a willingness to sell your soul to the devil. And of course, you will need a willingness to mass murder women and children for profit. These people are like the complete opposite of everything that actual humans should be. And so I say, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. Hell yeah. I would suggest that we lock them up in prison-like conditions under strict security behind several layers of locked doors and surrounded with walls and armed guards, just to make sure that they stayed away from us. But they already do this to themselves, so we don't even need to bother. Yes, I know we've spent many centuries now trying to stop persecution of people based upon social class. And I know that the truly enlightened person will see the humanity even of rich people.
I'm home to you.
The wise person will look below all the murder and stealing and lying and cheating. And he will see the true lost soul that lay underneath.
All aboard.
Like way underneath.
Gonna take my feet right way back.
And the truly advanced human,
watch that train roll down the track,
would be able to manage this beat without vomiting.
Gonna bring it on home, bring it on home.
Yeah, who knows what hurdles and challenges rich people must face in their insulated little bubble worlds. Yeah, maybe that man who just sold a bunch of fighter jets to that brutal dictator is suffering from PTSD because his mother didn't breastfeed him or something. So show some humanity, why don't ya? But tell me, has there ever been a social class that so deserves to be shunned and mocked?
Trying to love you, baby, what you trying to do? You're trying to love me, baby, and I love some motherland too. Bring it on home, bring it on home. Bring it on home, I said I'll bring it on, baby. Yeah.
Watch it, baby. I said, watch out.
So tell me, Mr. Banker Man, what you got to say for yourself?
I just like to say that I plead innocent of all charges.
I'm gonna bring it on home. I'll bring it on home to you.
Thunderbolt's about to bring it right on home to you right now. Thunderbolt calendar, coming right up. Yippee. And actually, it is time for our mid-show station break. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more show in just a minute. Views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. All right. So for our final Thunderbolt this week, we are going to travel to the Middle East. So this whole Israeli-Palestinian thing started back in 1948 when the Zionists stole Palestine by armed force, using tactics that represented textbook's examples of terrorism. The Israelis killed many thousands of Palestinians and displaced 750,000 of them from their homes with nothing more than the clothes on their back.
There will be no mistake.
That was 70 years ago.
'Cause I watch every move you make.
And many thousands of those Palestinians,
there'll be nowhere to hide.
Now, along with their grandchildren,
knows the other side,
have been living in foreign refugee camps ever since. Generations of Palestinian children have literally grown up in these camps, never having known anything else. Now, this theft was considered to be legal because a bunch of white imperialists at the time said that it was legal. But those same white imperialists were historically rather famous for saying all kinds of truly nasty stuff was legal. So in this latest Palestinian protest, the Israelis are murdering mostly non-violent civilian protesters by the score, and they are maiming them by the thousands. They are intentionally targeting the arms and legs of protesters so as to maim rather than to kill, as maiming doesn't receive as much public attention as killing, and because maiming thousands of people significantly adds to the already overwhelming load on the already pretty much non-existent Palestinian resources. The Israelis are using explosive bullets that rip off arms and legs and or can blast a fist
size hole through your torso or your head. And now in a new development, the snipers are now intentionally targeting aid workers. Now all of these acts violate a large number of wide variety of international laws. But the United States always invariably and usually unilaterally blocks any UN resolutions to try to do anything about it. And so these outrages not only continue with utter impunity, but they are largely paid for with your tax dollars. And Israel is the largest single recipient of American foreign aid of any country in the whole world. And if you take the Israelis at their own word, and specifically, if you take seriously the Israeli claim that they know exactly where each and every Israeli bullet fired goes and who it hits, then the Israelis were intentionally targeting aid workers. Up until a certain point, not a single aid worker had been killed. And then suddenly, over the period of a single week, 16 of them were killed. They almost immediately effed up, though, because one of the aid workers they shot and seriously injured was a photogenic Canadian citizen. The same day, they also shot four of this Canadian aid worker's colleagues. And one of those colleagues was a Palestinian aid worker who had himself earlier rescued the Canadian aid worker, only to be himself shot and killed just an hour later. Now that incident caused outrage and further attempts at the UN to hold Israel responsible, all to no avail. Thanks to the United States, Israel has a blank check. And then, after all of that, the Israelis not only killed an attractive 20-year-old female aid worker named Razan Al-Najjar by shooting her in the chest, but she was an aid worker who had previously conducted numerous interviews on camera due to the fact that she was such a telegenic, charming, selfless, dedicated, brave, inspiring, and beautiful young example of humanity's finest. Those clips were soon playing all over the world. And again, there was universal outrage all over the world. Well, everywhere except in the United States, anyway. And the United States, again, unilaterally blocked yet another UN resolution. And this time, it was a resolution to simply protect Palestinian civilians. So do you get it? This was a simple resolution to simply obey international law and to insist that Israel stop mass murdering grandmothers and unarmed teenage aid workers, and yet the United States unilaterally blocked it. The American representative to the UN at the time, Nikki Haley, said she vetoed the resolution because it was too, quote, one-sided, unquote. Well, I must agree with Ms. Haley. This is indeed a one-sided situation. Israel has one of the largest and most advanced militaries on the planet, along with world-class cutting-edge technologies to suppress civilian populations, while the Palestinians have rocks, Molotov cocktails suspended from balloons and kites, and a few crappy rockets that cannot seem to hit anything. In every confrontation between Israel and the Palestinians,
jostle in the light,
the casualty figures
finding it much soother in the night,
invariably turn out,
with his face as pale as pancakes and his posture in rebellion with his height,
to be hundreds to one, including the casualty rates among children. And in this latest protest, there have been hundreds of Palestinian deaths, thousands of injuries, with many of those injuries being disfiguring, disabling, and/or life-transforming. And not a single Israeli soldier has suffered so much as a nick or a cut.
They claim to know him as a man of noble cause, ignoring eccentricities and interactive flaws. The ones that knew him best are the ones that called him kind, clueless to the depth of his complicated mind.
But when he takes a battered glass and he blows into his face, it gives him the temerity to join the human race. Standing up like brave Ulysses with the star in his hand, pledging to reclaim the scimitar that plagued the glory land.
Israeli snipers are sitting behind fortified barricades that are themselves behind a fortified wall, and they are using high-powered sniper scopes to target unarmed teenage civilian aid workers. And their propaganda machine is simultaneously insisting that the Palestinians are the aggressors in this situation. Evidently, their theory is that the Palestinians are the aggressors because they're all so aggressively dying. Yes, this is indeed a one-sided situation, in that the Israelis are free to mass murder civilians with complete impunity, whilst if even a single hair on a single Israeli soldier's head is harmed in any manner whatsoever, the incident elicits wails of outrage from the Zionists, complete with much gnashing of teeth and rending of clothing. And their propaganda machine claims that the Palestinians defending their homeland from a foreign occupying army serves as further evidence that the Palestinians are murderers and terrorists, and thus justifies mass murdering civilians, and thus negates any claim to even the most basic civil liberties, and thus proves the Palestinians unworthy of even the right to food, to medicine, to clean water, to electricity, or to shelter. Due to the Israeli blockade and restrictions on imports, the hospitals in Gaza were already underfunded, understaffed, and undersupplied to the point of a crisis even before the Israelis began blowing off thousands of Palestinian arms and legs. now, according to reports on the ground, those hospitals are nothing more than nightmarish charnel houses. What is happening in Palestine represents nothing less than a mass campaign of ethnic cleansing and genocide. Period. And even if Americans continue to ignore it, I can guarantee you that history will remember.
Well, judging by the old clock on the wall, we're out of time. Tune in next time for Crap It and Keep It, right here on CBS.
So that's it for the news and commentary section of this week's show. I'm going to finish the hour out with some music. And this show's from way back in the day, so I decided to play some music from way back in the day. And this is sort of a gospel rock and roll fusion from Leon Russell and the Shelter People. And I'd be willing to lay some good money. Most of you are going to enjoy this.
Rolling, 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 r Yeah, there's a lady I know, and I'm lucky to see. She's a woman I'll never be with. Oh, she weeped up like a widow when he is clouding up my day. Touching my eyes, you take my heart in her hand. If you do that, child, you plainly see. Hold your mouth, I realize I'm alone with my sweet Emily. Oh, you know how to boogie like a honky tonk queen, but you tell me what. Talking about my sweet Emily. Oh, I can't give a reason the way that I feel. Only true love will tell you where you're haunted. Where do you explain? Will the whole world change? I know that child will always. What can I say? The words can't describe the feeling that I have inside. But won't you look in my eyes? You know I love my sweet Emily. Yeah, won't you look in my eyes? You know I love my sweet Emily.
Started to calling me honey. We took in every honky-tonky town. We're in a jailhouse now. In a jailhouse now. Well, they told us once or twice that we're playing cards and shooting dice. We're in a jailhouse now. We're in a jailhouse now. And they told us once or twice that we're playing cards and shooting dice. We're in a jailhouse now.
That was a set from Leon Russell. That was In the Jailhouse Now. Before that, we had Sweet Emily, and we started off that set with Roll Away the Stone. That was some classic music from back in the day. So that's it for this week. Hope to see you next week. In the meantime, keep your chin up. Peace. Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to Dana 98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here, the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.